Congress might be ready to take another stab at acquisition reform at the Department of Defense. Knowing why it hasn't worked in the past could help the House and Senate Armed Services Committees get the job done this time around. Bill Greenwalt is a fellow at the Marilyn Ware Center for Security Studies at the American Enterprise Institute and former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Industrial Policy. And you are the winner, by the way, today, Bill, of the Understatement of the Day Award. By starting this piece, there is a widespread view that the federal acquisition system is broken. I commend you on that statement, but I, after teasing you a bit, I want to go to something that you're writing here, and that is that critics of the acquisition system have, in essence, been talking past one another. What do you mean by that, Bill? Welcome to the program.
Yeah, no, thank you, Francis. I've been struggling with why is it that so many smart people have focused on this problem and tried to reform it over the last several decades, and ended up with a system that's more complicated, more expensive, and doesn't deliver the results that everyone wants. And so in this particular piece, I was looking to try a model to try to explain that, or at least to try to walk through that. And the answer, I believe, is that we're all using different criteria. What we think is what is a good acquisition system. And even within those criteria, we don't agree on the definition. So this short piece is in the first attempt to try to outline this model with these different criteria and definitional problems.
You've got six goals of an acquisition system in this piece. They're good ones, and I want to talk about them in turn. But I want to ask you about something else that you write that made me shudder a little bit, I have to confess. You write, the first step in acquisition reform should be to identify the many goals, principles, or criteria that have been used to guide the system, as you just mentioned a moment ago, define those terms and their metrics, again, something you just touched on, and then determine the degree to which they're valid in today's environment. That piece is the piece of it that makes me a little apprehensive, because it sounds like that means we're looking at today's environment differently than we've looked at the environment in the past, and that means differently than we'll have to look at it in the future. Ergo, this is an ongoing evolution and not something that, well, we're going to reform acquisition. Okay, we did it, and now we don't have to worry about it for a while.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. I think this is always going to be an ongoing system, because we're going to have to decide what's important at the time. Perhaps we might need a rapid acquisition model to get something innovative quickly into the marketplace. We might be more concerned about cost and schedule at a certain time. We might be more concerned about the economic effects of the procurement system. It depends upon the time and where we are in the budget cycle, and I think where we are also, particularly with defense, in the national security threat environment.
Okay. Framed in that way, that doesn't sound like that's as bad then as I thought it might be, where this was more of something that you write about in this piece, which is a pendulum swing, where the pendulum swings more because of overcompensation, generally centered around scandal, than around the actual needs of the warfighter, which is really the ultimate goal here, to get the warfighters the stuff they need to prosecute their missions.
No, absolutely, and I'm not a very good physicist, so I don't know how multiple pendulums work, but I think that's kind of where we are. And the simplistic pendulum is one where exactly that. There's a scandal, and we move to accountability, and then we need to free up the system. But there are so many different factors impacting on the system, and so many movements. Maybe it's like a balloon where you're squeezing it in certain areas, and you have to focus on. Really, I think the key thing is, just as you said, what's more important for the warfighter, what's important for the government mission, and try to get away from these pendulum swings on the scandals.
All right, so let's talk about the six goals that you write about in this piece, and maybe the times that we would expect to see them become more prominent than the other five, or become prominent in conjunction with some of the other five. The first one's efficiency. Tell me about that one.
Yes, and efficiency means different things to different people, but I think particularly on cost efficiency and better value for the taxpayer and greater reduction of overhead and those type of things, we're in that wheelhouse now. The budget's coming down. Efficiency should probably be paramount in any systemic reform at the present time.
You write, achieving cost and schedule goals have been historic indicators of measuring the efficiency of procurements, but these metrics don't necessarily guarantee the best use of resources. What would be a better metric for best use of resources?
I think we have to have a comparative, and that's where the competition side of this comes in. In other words, what are you getting? What are the results you're getting for your cost and schedule? We could be going down the path of shooting down a solution that really doesn't make a lot of sense, but we're achieving cost and schedule goals. We really have to look at it in comparison with other alternative sources of meeting that need.
Bill Greenwald of the American Enterprise Institute, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Industrial Policy, writing about the six goals of an acquisition system. And the second one that you write about, I think, is the most straightforward one, Bill, and that is effectiveness. Either something works or it doesn't work.
Absolutely. And but it gets a little more complicated depending upon what requirements you're asking of the system. If you're asking something that is a long-term, difficult thing to achieve, then it's going to be very difficult to achieve your effectiveness goals. But obviously, if you're something near-term that's available in the commercial marketplace, it should be a little easier.
Do you have any hope that we might achieve this goal better by having people inside DOD be satisfied with 85% solutions where they're available?
Absolutely. I think we need some type of expertise over there that can go out and assess what that 85% solution is, what's available in the commercial marketplace, and apply it to DOD as soon as they can.
All right. The third one on your list of six goals for an acquisition system is the desire of innovation and type of innovation. And you write, the desire and type that is pursued can radically impact efficiency and effectiveness goals. So this one sounds like you believe comes after the other two.
Absolutely, and really relates to that whole requirements problem that we just talked about in the previous discussion.
Now, one of the issues with innovation right now that I hear from vendors is DOD says they want acquisition, but they buy on price. How can DOD kind of turn that around, short of finding innovative things that they think look cool and maybe are a little more expensive than they want, but go ahead and buy them anyway, just to show an example? I mean, that doesn't seem like a really efficient way to go about things either.
No. I think the DoD needs to look at where innovation is being driven today, and it's not being driven by the Department of Defense. It's being driven by the commercial marketplace. It needs to go out there and tailor that innovation to its needs. And to do it in the most efficient manner instead of adding on more and more military unique requirements to what's already available out there.
When I think about tailoring, though, inside DOD, there's a line that you can cross. And I think,
yes,
in particularly about some of the financial management systems that they've tried to implement over the years, where they started out with a commercial solution and said, well, we'll just change it a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit there. And by the time they got done with it, it didn't work and it looked like Frankenstein and they'd spent a lot of money for no reason.
Yeah, I think you have to be very careful about that. And maybe I should just say accept it in 99.9% of its capability, and the tailoring should be so minor, and you have to be very careful on what the cost drivers are on that.
But like I said, there's a balance there, because if there's too much play in that, then it's real easy for somebody inside DOD who maybe isn't predisposed to a commercial solution to say, well, it would require too much customization, so this isn't going to work for us. So it strikes me that there really is a tremendous balance there.
It's an incredibly difficult situation. I think that's pretty much going to be the nature of our problem for the next 20 years, and how to get that right balance, because there's so much available out there in the marketplace, and we are not buying it in the best manner.
The fourth of your six goals for an acquisition system, Bill, is competition, and that's another one that's pretty straightforward. Preserving competition is a big priority, as outlined by the now former Deputy Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, and by Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary for ATL. I mean, they talk about competition on pretty much an ongoing basis.
No, and it's a terrific goal. However, if used too much, for example, particularly in the defense unique area, let's get away from the commercial side, you could end up taking gooing competition to monopoly. And I think we're seeing more and more of that in the supply chain, where you want to compete it, you want to get the best price, and individual companies are then moving out of the marketplace, and you're left with a monopoly. On the other side, on the commercial side, you may raise so many different types of barriers and procedures to do competition that some of the commercial guys say, I don't want to play.
Bill Lynn pointed out on this program recently, Bill, that a lot of the companies that are major players in defense right now don't have huge commercial books of business. And so this commercial influx that will generate this competition is going to be right exactly what you're talking about. It's going to have to come from people who are coming from outside the defense business and maybe even outside the government business into that space.
No, and that, while this isn't part of the article, we're at a point where many of these programs and the defense unique companies are privatized arsenals. And the issue is going to be how can in the supply chain we can potentially bring in commercial contractors to support what are essentially now privatized arsenals.
You write about social equity as the fifth item on your list of five goals, Bill. What do you mean by social equity?
Social equity is essentially social goals we have and that are in the procurement system. For example, small business goals, small disadvantaged goals, the federal prisons industry, any type of additional social equity goals that we have put on the procurement system, not for efficiency effective goals, but for other economic development goals.
The last item on your list is the one that's probably, I think, going to be the most prominent in the next couple of years, given the pendulum swing that we talked about earlier in our conversation, and that's accountability. As DOD gets focused on trying to meet audit deadlines, and Congress is going to demand accountability because of dissatisfaction with some major weapon systems and other things, it strikes me that this is probably going to be the one that DOD officials will be paying the most attention to on your list.
Well, I think what if we go into a simple pendulum between efficiency and effectiveness and accountability, we've swung, the accountability measures have swung now to a point where they're impacting efficiency and effectiveness measures. So we're going to have to get that balance right. It's important to have accountability. It's important to have the right audit rights and systems in there. But if you go too far, you start affecting the industrial base and you start affecting the efficiency of the system.
Bill, the piece is called The Nature of the Acquisition Reform Problem. It's great, and I'm happy to link it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Thanks for your ideas this afternoon.
Thank you, Francis. I appreciate being on the program.